Many people worship a deity who lived and died many years ago, but now is dust and ashes in a grave. Christians worship a God who was crucified by his enemies, but he arose from the dead, as he said he would. He lives today, and someday he will come back again. Without chapter 20 of John's Gospel, the previous chapter about the cross would be meaningless. Anyone could die on a cross, but only the Son of God, Jesus Christ, could rise from the dead. Now we read in verse 1 of chapter 20, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre." This is the Mary out of whom our Lord had cast 7 devils. Naturally, after such a miraculous deliverance, she was greatly concerned about her crucified Lord. Someone has said that she was last at his cross and first at his grave. From John's account, we might gather that Mary went to the tomb alone. But as we compare the other Gospels, we learn that several other women were in her company. Their special mission was to care for the body of our Lord. Upon seeing the stone rolled away, Mary turned and, forsaking the other women, hastened to tell Peter and John of her discovery. Verse 2 says, "She runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him." Why should Mary want to tell Peter? Had he not denied Christ? Was he worthy of being told? Well, several things seem to be clear. John had been charged by our Lord to care for his mother. He had taken her to his home. Doubtless Peter, who was brokenhearted and confused, sought refuge in the home of John as well. Who could have provided more help for Peter at such a time than the young, stalwart disciple John? Thus it seems that Mary ran to John's house to announce Christ's disappearance. She thought the Lord Jesus had been stolen from the tomb. Having been summoned by Mary, we read in verse 3, "Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre." Peter's concern was more than mere curiosity. Ever since his denial of Christ, he had been grieving under the load of his guilt. His response to Mary's announcement must have been prompted by the hope of another chance to fulfill his earlier promise, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Verse 4 says, "So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre." Now it would be natural for John to outrun Peter, for he was younger and sturdier. Upon arriving at the tomb, John merely stooped down and looked in. Imagine the thoughts that must have flashed through John's mind as he saw the empty tomb and the grave clothes. Why he did not enter the tomb, we do not know. Probably what he saw was enough to convince him that what Mary had said was unquestionably true. Now Peter reacted differently. Look at verses 6 and 7. "Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself." Peter is not to be condemned for his tempestuous nature, nor is John to be criticized because he was so reserved. You see, God made us all what we are, and we should not try to be like somebody else. The secret of usefulness is not the possession of a particular nature, but rather it is to be God-controlled. Whatever one's temperament may be, it can be used by the Lord, but only following complete submission to Jesus Christ. Peter realized that Mary had been mistaken. Christ had not been stolen out of the tomb. The evidence was in the wrappings that had been around our Lord's body, which, rather than lying flat, remained the same as they had been about his body. It would have been impossible for anyone to unwrap Christ and then to refashion the wrappings as they were before Christ emerged from them. Indeed, this was a miracle of God. Verse 8 says, "Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed." Now the word believed does not mean conversion here. John had believed on Christ long before. John believed that Christ had been raised from the dead as he prophesied. Visualizing the wrappings, he was convinced that Jesus had not been stolen from the tomb. The next verse makes this clear, verse 9. "For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." Our Lord's enemies were quicker to understand Christ's statements regarding his resurrection than his own disciples were. Immediately after his death, his wicked murderers went to Pilate with the plea, "Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, 'He is risen from the dead.' So the last error shall be worse than the first." The request was granted. Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as ye can." You see, these men expected Christ to rise from the dead, while the disciples were still confused as to what Jesus meant. After this remarkable experience, what happened? Well, we read in verse 10, "The disciples went away again unto their own home." They left the empty tomb different than when they came. They went away believing and convinced that all Jesus Christ had said was absolutely true. I hope you're convinced in your heart, because as you know him, dear friend, and as he is living in you, you have real victory in this life. Jesus is alive, and realize it, he is coming again. You need to be ready to meet him when he comes. If you're not ready, I say to you, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Father, we come to you thankful for our risen Lord, and thankful too for the wonderful hope we have of his soon return. Help us to be ready in every respect. For those outside of Christ, draw them to him, I pray. And for those who know him, may we be true to him. I ask this in his blessed name. Amen.